Section 11 of Robinson Crusoe in Words of One Syllable. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, visit LibriVox.org. Robinson Crusoe in Words of One Syllable by Mary Godolphin. Section 11. At last they thought that the best thing to do would be, while it was dark, to send old Jaff out as a spy, to learn who they were and what they meant to do. When the old man had been gone an hour or two, he brought word back that he had been in the midst of the foes, though they had not seen him, and that they were in two sets or tribes who were at war, and had come there to fight. And so it was, for in a short time they heard the noise of the fight, which went on for 2 hours, and, at the end, with three loud shouts or screams, they left the isle in their boats. Thus my friends were set free from all their fears, and saw no more of their wild foes for some time. One day a whim took the three bad men that they would go to the mainland, from whence the wild men came, and try if they could not seize some of them, and bring them home as slaves, so as to make them do the hard part of their work for them. The chief gave them all the arms and stores that they could want, and a large boat to go in, but when they bade them Godspeed, no one thought that they would find their way back to the isle. But lo, in 3 weeks and a day, they did, in truth, come back. One of the two good men was the first to catch sight of them, and tell the news to his friends. The men said that they had found the land in 2 days, and that the wild men gave them roots and fish to eat, and were so kind as to bring down 8 slaves to take back with them, 3 of whom were men, and 5 were girls. So they gave their good hosts an axe, an old key, and a knife, and brought off the slaves in their boats to the isle. As the chief and his friends did not care to wed the young girls, the 5 men who had been the crew of Paul's ship drew lots for choice, so that each had a wife. And the 3 men slaves were set to work with the 2 good men, though there was not much for them to do. But one of them ran off to the woods, and they could not hear of him more. They had good cause to think that he had found his way home, as in 3 or 4 weeks some wild men came to the isle, and when they had had their feast and dance, they went off in 2 days' time. So my friends might well fear that if this slave got safe home, he would be sure to tell the wild men that they were in the isle, and in what part of it they might be found. And so it came to pass, for in less than 2 months, 6 boats of wild men, with 8 or 10 men in each boat, came to the north side of the isle, where they had not been known to come up to that time. The foe had brought their boats to land, not more than a mile from the tent of the 2 good men, and it was there that the slave who had run off had been kept. These men had the good luck to see the boats when they were a long way off, so that it took them quite an hour from that time to reach the shore. My friends now had to think how that hour was to be spent. The first thing they did was to bind the 2 slaves that were left, and to take their wives, and as much of their stores as they could, to some dark place in the woods. They then sent a 3rd slave to the chief and his men, to tell them the news, and to ask for help. They had not gone far in the woods when they saw, to their great grief and rage, that their huts were in flames, and that the wild men ran to and fro like beasts in search of prey. But still our men went on, and did not halt till they came to a thick part of the wood, where the large trunk of an old tree stood, and in this tree they both took their post. But they had not been there long, when 2 of the wild men ran that way, and they saw 3 more, and then 5 more, who all ran the same way, as if they knew where they were. Our two poor men made up their minds to let the first two pass, and then take the three and the five in line as they came up, but to fire at one at a time, as the first shot might chance to hit all three. So the man who was to fire put three or four balls in his gun, and from a hole in the tree took a sure aim, and stood still till the three wild men came so near that he could not miss them. They soon saw that one of these three was the slave that had fled from them, as they both knew him well, and they made up their minds that they would kill him, though they should both fire. At the first shot, two of the wild men fell, and the third had a graze on his arm, and, though not much hurt, sat down on the ground with loud screams and yells. When the five men who came next heard the sound of the gun and the slave's cries, they stood still at first, as if they were struck dumb with fright. So our two men both shot off their guns in the midst of them, and then ran up and bound them safe with cords. They then went to the thick part of the wood, where they had put their wives and slaves, to see if all were safe there, and, to their joy, they found that, though the wild men had been quite near them, they had not found them out. While they were here, the chief and his men came up, and told them that the rest had gone to take care of my old house and grove, in case the troop of wild men should spread so far that way. They then went back to the burnt huts, and when they came in sight of the shore, they found that their foes had all gone out to sea. So they set to work to build up their huts, and as all the men in the isle lent them their aid, they were soon in a way to thrive once more. For 5 or 6 months they saw no more of the wild men, but one day a large fleet of more than a score of boats came in sight, full of men who had bows, darts, clubs, swords, and such like arms of war, and our friends were all in great fear. As they came at dusk, and at the east side of the isle, our men had the whole night to think of what they should do, and as they knew that the most safe way was to hide and lie in wait, they first of all took down the huts which were built for the two good men, and drove their goats to the cave, for they thought the wild men would go straight there as soon as it was day, and play the old game. The next day they took up their post with all their force at the wood, near the home of the two men, to wait for the foe. They gave no guns to the slaves, but each of them had a long staff with a spike at the end of it, and by his side an axe. There were two of the wives who could not be kept back, but would go out and fight with bows and darts. The wild men came on with a bold and fierce mien, not in a line, but all in crowds here and there, to the point where our men lay in wait for them. When they were so near as to be in range of the guns, our men shot at them right and left with 5 or 6 balls in each charge. As the foe came up in close crowds, they fell dead on all sides, and most of those that they did not kill were much hurt, so that great fear and dread came on them all. Our men then fell on them from 3 points with the butt end of their guns, swords, and staves, and did their work so well that the wild men set up a loud shriek and flew for their lives to the woods and hills with all the speed that fear and swift feet could help them to do. As our men did not care to chase them, they got to the shore where they had come to land and where the boats lay. But their rout was not yet at an end, for it blew a great storm that day from the sea, so that they could not put off. And as the storm went on all that night, when the tide came up, the surge of the sea drove most of their boats so high on the shore that they could not be got off save with great toil, and the force of the waves on the beach broke some of them to bits. At break of day, our men went forth to find them, and when they saw the state of things, they got some dry wood from a dead tree and set their boats on fire. When the foe saw this, they ran all through the isle with loud cries, as if they were mad, so that our men did not know at first what to do with them, for they trod all the corn down with their feet, and tore up the vines just as the grapes were ripe, and did a great deal of harm. At last they brought old Jaff to them, to tell them how kind they would be to them, that they would save their lives, and give them part of the isle to live in, if they would keep in their own bounds, and that they should have corn to plant, and should make it grow for their bread. They were but too glad to have such good terms of peace, and they soon learnt to make all kinds of work with canes, wood, and sticks, such as chairs, stools, and beds, and this they did with great skill when they were once taught. From this time till I came back to the isle, my friends saw no more wild men. I now told the chief that I had not come to take off his men, but to bring more, and to give them all such things as they would want to guard their homes from foes, and cheer up their hearts. The next day I made a grand feast for them all, and the ship's cook and mate came on shore to dress it. We brought out our rounds of salt beef and pork, a bowl of punch, some beer, and French wines, and Carl gave the cooks 5 whole kids to roast, 3 of which were sent to the crew on board ship, that they, on their part, might feast on fresh meat from shore. I gave each of the men a shirt, a coat, a hat, and a pair of shoes, and I need not say how glad they were to meet with gifts so new to them. Then I brought out the tools, of which each man had a spade, a rake, an axe, a crow, a saw, a knife, and such like things, as well as arms, and all that they could want for the use of them. As I saw there was a kind will on all sides, I now took on shore the youth and the maid whom we had brought from the ship that we met on her way to France. The girl had been well brought up, and all the crew had a good word for her. As they both had a wish to be left on the isle, I gave them each a plot of ground, on which they had tents and barns built. I had brought out with me 5 men to live here, one of whom could turn his hand to all sorts of things, so I gave him the name of Jack of All Trades. End of section 11. Read by Dennis Sayers in Modesto, California, for LibriVox, spring 2007.